Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Today's part three, we're going to talk about relationships. Let me go over a couple of things that I want you to know about first from me. We're in day 15 of our 21-day prayer journey, and I don't know about you, but I hope you're joining with us, but because God is really doing some special, amazing things in my world, and I trust that he's doing the same in yours. And so we pray together on Wednesdays at 7 and Saturdays at 9, and we do that for right at an hour. So if you've never joined us yet, you've got one more Wednesday and one more Saturday to join us. So I hope you come out, make it a priority. It'd be awesome. I know some of the weather's been weird, but this Wednesday, come and join us. I'm sure you'll be glad you did. If you're having breakthroughs and life change that you want to let us know about, please send us an email at amen@morelifechurch.com, and that will be an encouragement for us, and we won't share that with anyone unless we get permission from you. We just want to know what God is doing in your world, and so if you have something, we would love to hear from you. This is part three. Week one, we talked about spirit, man, the inside, the real you, your heart, and how to detox. I'm going to tell you what I mean by detox here in just a second. Week two, we talked about your soul, which was your mind and your emotions. And so we discussed that. This week, I'm going to talk to you about relationships. And I'm super, super amped up about this one. I feel like a dog with no chain on. Like, I feel really, really excited about this. And so I think this will be helpful. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about how to implement these principles in a lifestyle, the way that you can, walk them out in your journey beyond the inspiration of the moment, beyond the encouragement of the moment, but in your own way, in your own lifestyle, in your own routine and pattern, that you can live these principles out, and all kinds of good principles to help you grow spiritually. And so that is where we are going. If you have your notes, get ready, because man, I already said I'm excited, but man, I'm super excited. You may not be yet, but and you may not be when I'm done either, but I am excited. Like, I'm more excited than when my phone tells me the hot and ready light is on at Krispy Kreme. Come on, somebody. Like, I'm ready to go, all right? And so, like Larry asked you to do, lean in on me. Everybody just physically do it. Just everybody lean in. Some of you have back trouble. I can see that. Okay, so that's all right. And so that's just kind of like a spiritual picture of what I want y'all to do on the inside, which is just kind of grab a hold of what's being said. I'm going to talk to you about relationships, and relationships are arguably one of the most important things and themes throughout Scripture. In fact, if you want to summarize all of the Bible into one word, you could probably choose different words, but one word you could definitely use is the word relationship or relational. In fact, the entire story of the Scripture that God is telling us is his picture of bringing humanity back into a relationship that's holy and healthy with him. It starts off on a good path, and then things change. There is a separation, and a relationship is broken. And the entire story leading up to Jesus giving his life for us is the story of God's plan to redeem man back to a healthy relationship with God. That's what God is telling us in his story. He wants to be in relationship with you. It's interesting that that's one of the main themes of Scripture, because I've experienced as a human being, relationships are one of the most difficult waters to navigate in all of the human experience. Can somebody say amen to that? Like, relationships are not easy. If you're married, you definitely know relationships are not easy. And I'm going to talk to single folks and married folks and everybody in between all of that. I don't know what's in between single and married. I guess engaged. I don't know. Something's in between. And I want to start with a scripture reference. It's in your notes. Since we have these promises, Paul says, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. He starts off with this idea that we've got some promises, guys, and he talks about those in the previous verses. But then he says, we have some work to do, and we have an assignment, a responsibility to manage our souls, to manage our lives, and that the world around us, it's natural for contaminants to find their way in. So I've defined the detox process as this. It's the removal of toxic substances and the intentional addition of healthy habits. So you get rid of the toxic stuff, but that's not enough to just get rid of the toxic stuff. You got to put some healthy things back in, both physically, spiritually, emotionally, and relationally. And so recently, I'm going to put Larry on the spot, but Larry, in about a few days, Larry, it's okay with him that I say this. I didn't get permission, but he's okay with it. In a few days, Larry is going to be 60. It's very exciting. It is. It's exciting that it's you and not me, for one thing. Somebody came up and said, man, Josh, when I'm 60, I hope I look as good as Larry. And I thought, I wish I looked as good as Larry now at 40. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I looked that good right now. But here's what Larry has done. Larry has created a lifestyle of getting intentionally rid of toxic things. He's had an uphill climb on some of this. It isn't easy. Like what he has is not genetics. You look at certain people and you say, oh, that's just genetics. And the assumption is it's easy for them and it's tough for you. But the reality is when you get rid of toxic stuff, that's not enough. You got to put healthy stuff in. Like for instance, sometimes I get down and discouraged and I just get into a mood where I just want to lay in my bed in my underwear and eat Cheetos. Come on, somebody. Anybody feel that? That's me sometimes. So then somebody's like, oh, dear Jesus, I can't believe this. But it wouldn't be enough for me to just stop that. It would be good, but I need to put something healthy in its place, right? Like I can't just get away from the toxic things and think that's okay, because other things find their way in. And so God teaches us this principle clear in the beginning. In the book of Genesis, He does something that's remarkable. He provides healthy relationship through boundaries. You need to understand this. Healthy, I'm going to add a word to it for you extra note folks. Healthy and holy relationships require boundaries. God does this in the garden. He draws a boundary line around a certain tree. He brings Adam and Eve into the beginning and he says, hey, the whole garden is yours, but this tree is off limits. There's a boundary around it. And God sets this boundary because it's healthy for Adam and Eve to not partake of that particular item. So he sets a boundary up because he knows healthy relationships. It's right there in the beginning where we, and we have to understand this. If you're going to have healthy and holy relationships, you're going to need to draw circles around things. You're going to need to have lines around things. In other words, it's not just enough to get out of toxic behaviors. You've got to create boundaries that are protective of you. And I'm going to talk about the conflict that creates here in just a second. But boundaries are this. They're simply property lines. They're lines of responsibility that are present in all of our emotions. They're present in all of our personalities. They're present in everything that we do. Listen. It's God designed that way. See, it would be like this. If I were to have my neighbor come up to our fence line, our property line, and say, hey, Josh, I don't really like your landscaping. I think you should change it. And I say, well, I appreciate your opinion, even though I don't. I say it because I'm nice, you know, whatever. But you take care of your yard and I'll take care of mine. Come on, somebody. Like, there's a property line there. I bet most of the men, and maybe some of the ladies, I don't know. I've only ever been a man, so I don't even know how I think as a man, that when someone tries to tell me what to do with my stuff, it evokes a certain response from me that isn't always positive. If someone were to say, your grass is too long, you need to cut it, I'd say, mind your own business and leave me alone. Why? Because they're infringing on my boundary. Y'all with me? That would be just as inappropriate as if I walked up to the boundary line and said to them, hey, my grass is too long. You should come over here and cut it. We've both equally crossed the boundary line. And boundaries are there for health purposes. And it's that way relationally too. And I'm going to tell you this for extra notes. The line is responsibility. In other words, I can sum up the whole message in one sentence and we can dismiss and go. Don't have an opinion where you don't have a responsibility.
Amen. That's good.
If you don't have a responsibility, your opinion, you can verbalize it because we have free speech and we live in a free country and all that stuff, right? But you don't have any authority, you don't have any power, you don't have any say in someone else's boundary line. The same thing is true relationally. This is where we start toxic behavior, is when we cross emotional and relational boundary lines by thinking we are in charge of how someone else should think, feel, and speak. It's toxic. You're not responsible for the consequences that are associated with their actions, so stop trying to be their boss. Let me say it to you in a church way, okay? Let me just say it to you a churchy way. You are not that person's Holy Spirit. You are not the Holy Spirit to that person. And so we've got to understand healthy boundaries for ourselves and for others, and that's why we have to build a fence at times around us to be healthy and holy. This is what the proper writer means when he says this. Above everything else. Wow. That highlights something, doesn't it? Of everything else I can emphasize in this chapter, the wisest man to ever live says, above everything else, guard your heart. Above everything else that I could talk to you about, God is saying, build a boundary around your emotions and around your relationships and around your heart. Build something around it, because nobody is going to protect your heart like you're going to protect your heart, because they are incapable of doing it for you. It's the part that you're supposed to purify your self. Are y'all with me, or did you go home? Y'all with me? Somebody talk back to me. Let me know you're still in the room. Amen. Yeah, you're still here. Because why? Why? For what reason do we build this boundary around our heart specifically? Because everything you do flows out of it. So when you don't build that boundary and toxic stuff gets in, you let toxic stuff in, that's what's going to flow out. You get gunk in there. You let passive aggressive people flow into you, that's what's going to flow out. You let critical people flow into you, that's what's going to flow out. You get people who are verbally abusive and creating insecurity, and they're just talking down to you all the time. You're going to find yourself having that exact same thing flow out, trying to earn things that you don't have to earn, because we failed to build this boundary around our heart. Now, this is difficult. I get it. This is difficult. That's why we're talking about it. And I feel like this is an exaggeration, but I feel like this is the most important message I've ever preached in my entire life. I don't know that it is, but that's how I feel. Because so many of you, so many of us, so many people watching online, they have an issue with the things that we're going to be discussing, and you can already see you have it too, this unhealthy relationship, and you feel stuck. You feel stuck, and here's why: it's difficult because real people and real emotions are involved. Yeah. You're smart enough to know. You're way sharp enough to know, man, if I take this step to take control of my life in a godly way, Are they going to be okay with it? Is it going to hurt their feelings? See, here's what I know. A lot of times as Christians, we care more about how they feel than we care about how their destructive behavior is wrecking our heart. Because we haven't built that boundary. We've chosen to disregard the verse that says, guard your heart. That's a Bible verse. We have a responsibility to do that. Do you know this, ladies and gentlemen? Let me talk to all the single people and teenagers for just a second. Single and all the way up to whatever age. Listen to me. Listen to me very carefully, okay? Let me see your eyeballs, if you would. You're not supposed to just let anybody get in your heart. You're not just supposed to let anybody in. You're supposed to build some boundaries. Because I'm going to tell some young people, some young ladies this, some middle-aged ladies this, some older ladies this. There's some men out there, they're not interested in the best good for your heart. They're interested in something different. Something, don't be mad at me, something a little further south. I know that's straight talk, but that's the way it really is. And if you don't guard your heart, you're going to open yourself up to wounds and toxic things to the point where you get jaded towards certain people because they're only after things. Look, real people and real emotions are involved. I felt like when I said that one phrase, all the oxygen got sucked out of the room. I'm sorry. Everybody breathe back in, okay? It's okay. Everybody else on the planet is talking about this and suffering from it. I'm tired of good people in the church being silent over important issues. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it because it creates wounds. It hurts people. This is difficult because we often value convenient relationships over covenant relationships. Covenant relationship, covenant is not a Bible word. It is a Bible word. It's one that we don't discuss a lot. Convenient is our default mode in relationships. If you're single and you ever want to be married, I'm going to tell you how to find a spouse. In the next 3 minutes, I'm going to tell you how to find a spouse. And if you're the parent of a child who's ever going to want to be married and they're not here, I'm going to give you the components of how to choose a spouse. You're welcome. And here's the key. We live in a convenient culture. A convenient culture says, I'm interested in self first. I want what's good for me. First, I want you to make me feel good. First, I want to make sure you're going to take care of me. It's self-interest. It's me, myself, and I. It's me in the morning, me in the afternoon, and me when the sun goes down. It's convenient because it makes me feel good. But covenant relationships are based on two mature people who come and arrive at a decision that for better or worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, we are going to love one another no matter what. No matter what, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. I'm going to tell you what, my wife and I, we celebrated 20 years of marriage last year. We were married at 19. That's true. Married at 19 years old. And I'm going to tell you something. That little lady over there has put up with some junk from me. Somebody can say amen to that because you know that's true. But marriage is the greatest test of selflessness known to man. It will test the limits of your selflessness. And too many people rush to convenient choices because it gets difficult and you forget the mutual commitment that was made. So choose someone who's interested in us, we, not me. Convenient relationship protects their rights. And a covenant relationship surrenders rights. A convenient relationship says, well, this is what belongs to me. This is mine. It's my right to feel a certain way. It's my right. Listen, am I saying that in relationships, you shouldn't be happy and you shouldn't experience joy? You absolutely should. But can I just tell you that no one is ever going to nonstop experience joy and peace and satisfaction. You want to know how I know that? Because you're in the room. And no one person does that all by themselves. So why would you think that you're going to experience it when you introduce someone else into the equation. It's a surrender of your rights. This is what Jesus paints a picture of for us when he's on the cross. And the Bible tells us he could have called angels down to take him and redeem him from that, but he surrendered his rights so that he could be in a covenant with you. He did what was best for you, not what was best for him. And he gave up what he had ownership of so that you could live free forever, free of shame and free of guilt. See, listen, we're working on covenant kind of relationships because that's where life and strength and health come from. Now, the next one is convenient relationships. They avoid responsibility. But covenant ones assume responsibility. They say things like, I'm responsible. That was my fault. I did that. Like when your son is in the backyard hitting golf balls when he's not supposed to because you've already told him not to because he's gotten too big to where he's hitting them too far and he hits the golf ball three doors down and your neighbor finds that golf ball with their lawnmower and ruins their lawnmower and you got to go down and knock on the door and say, my son messed up because, listen, I'm looking out for my son's best interest. I'm going to assume responsibility at time for him because of my role. You got to assume responsibility. Listen, in relationships, you got to assume responsibility. There's a husband and wife responsibility in marriage. And if you can't assume this responsibility for the other person, you better say, I don't. We got too many people saying I do when they mean I don't. That was better preaching than you're responding, but I'm going to. In husband-wife relationship, I see too many. I give up things in my relationship with my wife. I surrender rights. I could pull the card of, I bring in more income than you do, and therefore I get to do this and that and the other, and I get to sleep on whatever side of the bed I want to. But here's what I found out in marriage: it don't work that way. And you know, it's just a small little thing. We had a war over toilet paper when we first got married. We had the over-under war on the roll. And I was an under person. Like, it had to go over the back, over the back, and it comes out from the bottom. And she was an over-the-top person. And we finally had to settle the disagreement because I'd had enough and I would replace it and I would be under and she'd get mad and she'd replace it and it'd be over and I'd get mad. This is a true story. We were just 19 years old. We were arguing over stupid stuff because we didn't have anything important to fight about. You know what I'm saying? She finally went to the library and pulled the patent for the toilet paper holder and it said it was over. Like the guy that created it said it was meant to be over and that answered the argument. Yeah. You know what I could have done if I was dumb? I could have said, well, bless God, I don't care what the patent says. The Bible says that the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, so you better submit to me. Listen, if you're a man with that attitude, let me love on you for a minute. Don't ever say that, ever, 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 under any circumstance, for any reason, at any time, don't ever say that. So he says, well, it's a Bible verse. I know. But it's not talking to you. You want to know how I know who it's talking to? Because he prefaces the verse by saying, wives. So I'm not the sharpest tool in the tool shed, but I know I'm not that. And so when he says wife, I know he's not talking to me. He's talking to somebody else. And so I say that's her responsibility to do that verse. And whether she does it or not is not on me. That's on her. Hold your applause for just a second. My responsibility is to love her just like Christ loved the church. And when I'm doing that, that's a full-time job. I can't be worried about whether she's doing her part because I'm focused on doing my part because I'm assuming the responsibility that God has put in front of me on the path that I'm living in. I got to just stay in my lane. I got to stay right where I am. I'm looking at Steve and Steve runs track. And from time to time, Steve will do, he'll do relays. And I know there's a rule about relays. I know there's a rule about track and field, and the rule is this: as long as you stay in your lane, you're fine. But the moment you veer outside of your lane, you're disqualified from the race. Right. That's the same thing that's true in relationships. You got to stay within your boundaries of responsibility, because your race is going to take all of your effort. It's going to take all of your energy. It's going to take your whole life. But many of us are, we're running down the track of life, and we're saying, hey, Larry, you're not in step. You know, you're worried about somebody else's race. And all the while, you got to run your race, ladies and gentlemen. Assume responsibility for your life. Amen. Is that all the better that was? Convenience has an if-then mentality. Man, I'm preaching so good, my sweater's sticking to me, ladies and gentlemen. If-then mentality versus unconditional promises. An if-then mentality says something like this: if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. If you treat me good, then I'll treat you good. If you make dinner tonight, I'll make dinner tomorrow. Now, you can have those compromises and so on and so forth. But what I'm talking about is when people require an if-then mentality in order to love you. And an unconditional covenant relationship says, I love you with all of your faults and all of your failures and everything that you do have and everything that you don't have. No matter what, I still love you. There's no condition on it. I'm going to stay with it, because to me, this is more than just convenience. This isn't a convenient relationship. And would to God in More Life Church, we get out of the convenient-minded culture and get into a covenant culture. And everything that we think, say, and do, however we live our lives in relationships, in serving, in our generosity, and everything we do, realize that God gave us everything so that we can be in an unconditional promised covenant with Him till death do us part from this world. Now, here's the next thing that's a trouble. That's trouble. There can be a conflict between loving someone and requiring responsible behavior. Every person in this room has run up against this conflict. Every person in this room has run up against this. You got a friend that wants to borrow money. And they're borrowing money on the third time, and they haven't paid you back for the first two times yet. And as a Christ follower, you're torn, because you love them and you want to help them and you want to be generous and you want to be long-suffering. But at the same time, they're not doing their part of the agreement. This isn't that you stop loving them. It's not an if-then. It's a self-preservation, because you've got a limited amount of resources. And you're like, how long do I tolerate X behavior until I require them to be responsible for themselves? How many times have I got to bail them out of this situation? How many times have I got to bail them out of this job? How many times have I got to bail them literally out of jail? How many times do I have to, run the risk of being assertive in a relationship and saying where I stand and not have to fear that person stopping loving me because I've spoken my mind in a right attitude and with the right heart? Like, we have this conflict between loving them and requiring responsible behavior. I'm going to say it now, and I won't say it later. For me, this is learning to say no when I really want to say yes. That's how I can sum it up. This is my problem. It's a conflict for me. I love my kids, and I always want to tell them yes. And we have four, and they're teenagers, and they're good kids. They're not like money grubbers or greedy or anything like that. But just by the sheer definition of four teenagers, that's a lot of money. And so if I said yes to everything that they ever asked for, I'd be living in a van down by the river, ladies and gentlemen. So sometimes we say no because we love, but in some of our minds, the only expression of love is yes. But sometimes the very thing that relationship needs is a firm and assertive no. Right? So it's difficult. It's difficult to get into this. The Bible, it's difficult because the Bible teaches two sides of love. Can I just tell you something? I like it when y'all turn the page. It's awesome. I like it. It's awesome. The Bible teaches two, not kinds, but two sides of love. Watch. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So there's a conflict there. So relationships engage in this conflict. Because there is this love your neighbor side of it. Forgive, forget, walk in love, but yet require righteousness. This verse tells the story. Jesus lived this out, but the psalmist writes about it. And he says, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. I love this picture because, see, God wants us to be just like him. And even though he has boundless love for all of us, he still expects righteous and holy behavior. And he wants us to expect that from others. And we've all gone through this situation where somebody has hurt us. Let me show you where boundaries help us. Somebody hurts you. You follow the plan scripturally the best way you know. You go to them. You talk to them. Person to person. Say, you've hurt me. They say, okay. It happens again. And it happens again. And it happens again. And every time that happens, as long as we allow it to continue, we give them permission to act in an unholy, in an unhealthy, in an unrighteous way. We give them permission to do that in our life. And God in this verse is saying they both can live together. And the key thought that I want you to see is this. It's not godly, it's not holy, it's not healthy to allow dysfunction to go on just because someone is in denial of his or her sin or destructive behavior. You need to circle that, underline it, highlight it, do whatever, because this is going to liberate some people today. Because some of you think, well, they don't see it yet, and I just really want to help them. One of the best things that you can do to help a person see that they've crossed a boundary is to enforce the parameters that have already been set, and don't let go of that. Jesus did this. I'm going to show it to you. Don't just take my word for it. But this is not, you can't just let dysfunction live. I got to keep moving. Here's why. We're to strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble and make straight paths for your feet so the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint but rather be healed. Look. He's saying this. Stop the bleeding. Don't let it get any worse. You've got a responsibility in this. When you see this unhealthy, toxic stuff, you got to deal with it or it's going to lead to greater harm. It's either going to be injured to a further degree or it can be healed. It depends on whether or not we lay out that healthy, godly boundary around the situation and understand that there are two sides of love that God has shown us that we can live out of. Now, let me give you some of the principles of this healthy relationship. Y'all ready? Number one, limits. The requirement to live inside one's own capacity enforces the decisions that you make. What's that mean? Every person in this room, you have a limitation. I say it a different way. You're not good at everything. Some of you don't believe that. Let's do something together. Turn to the person next to you and say, have a smile on your face and say this. Say, you're not great at everything. Go ahead and tell them. I really only asked you to say that to one person. Some of you are kind of getting a little out of control with that. We have limits. Do you know Jesus had limitations? Jesus had limitations. The Bible teaches. Somebody says, wait a minute. Jesus was God. He could do anything. No. He laid aside, the writer says, the epistle says, he laid aside all of his mighty power and glory and became a man just like us. Yeah. He had limitations, and there's all kinds of verses. I don't have enough time to show them to you. But then this is because there were so many people that were coming and going that they did not have a chance to eat. And he, this is Jesus, said to them, Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. I just got all the toddlers' parents really excited. There's a quiet place for y'all, ladies and gentlemen, at one point. It's not today. It's another day. But come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Watch this. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Jesus had limitations. He had to nap. He had to eat. He had to get rest. He went on a cruise. Bible permission to go on a Caribbean cruise right here, ladies and gentlemen. Why? We all have limits. You have limits. I have limits. You cannot do everything. Because you're aware of this, a healthy approach to relationship is I have to set up parameters of limitations on my life because I can't get to it all. You know you can't. And it becomes unhealthy and you run yourself ragged. You stress yourself out by spreading yourself too thin, thinking you can do everything under the sun well and you can't. And so it's Bible permission to set a boundary and say, I am finite. I am limited in what I'm able to do. And I need to put that in place to have a healthy relationship. The next thing is truth. Truth is a principle that we have to have in place. It's the ability to speak honestly and clearly about our position and our stance. Paul says it this way, speaking the truth in love will grow up to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Jesus was really clear where he stood on things. He let his yes be yes and his no be no. He was never confusing about his position. And I think sometimes as Christians we wear ourselves out because we won't take a stand. We won't pick something that we're going to stand by because we're afraid of whether or not that person will view it as love or not. But can I tell you something? That truth is an expression of love. You don't love someone by lying to them. You tell them the truth. And when you build that into your relationship, it creates healthy boundaries. You just have the boundary of, I'm not going beyond the line of truth. I will never lie to them about something, even if it's a hard thing to answer. Even when she comes out after hours of working on herself before y'all go out on a date and she says, how does this dress look? Well, I think you look beautiful, baby. Speaking the truth in love. You know what I mean? Just like you can't cross boundary lines. Always be brutally honest with those that you're closest to because you care about them. The third one is respect. This one's interesting because not only should you give respect, you should have the expectation to receive respect. And I'm talking to somebody now. You don't believe you're worthy of respect, and you are, because God has made you that way. And you've let people run over you and walk all over you. You've tried to set the boundaries, and they've just blitzed through them because they disrespect. Listen, that is not okay. That's toxic behavior, and that has to be addressed, and you have to respect yourself enough to say, I'm no longer going to let anybody disrespect me and encroach on my responsibility and my boundaries. The Bible says it this way, show proper respect to everyone. Let me tell you something. You're a part of that. You're an everyone. Yeah. You deserve respect. Got awful quiet in this Presbyterian church all of a sudden. But they love the family of believers. Fear God, honor the emperor, honor the king. Got two more real quick. Healthy boundaries involve sowing and reaping. What's that mean? There's consequences to our actions. When you act out of knowing that there's a consequence, that every action has an equal and opposite reaction, you want to make sure you're sowing the right seeds. Because whatever seeds you sow, those are the seeds you're going to reap. You sow healthy boundaries. You sow those things. And then when you come in contact with them, when you see them, you understand and you respect and you say, okay, I see that there's a limitation there. And so I'm going to honor that. I'm going to respect that because this verse is true. I'm not going to be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that is what he or she is going to reap. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Lastly is activity. We're going to close. Talk back to me real quick. Did y'all get any help so far today? Okay, good. I wanted that reaction before I give you the last one. This is going to require activity. You've got to do something. When you know it's unhealthy, when you know it's toxic, you've got to pray through that stuff and act. You can't just be a hearer only. You've got to be a doer. You can't be afraid of what's on the other side of your decision, because that fear will hold you in captivity. You've got to do something. You can't sit and be pinned up and worried. How will that affect this? And how will it affect that? Listen. You're only responsible for your decisions. You can't be responsible for how they act in response to what you do, when what you do is for everyone's best good. See, some of you, I'm going to just be real plain. Some of you, you got some people in some aspects of your world that they've overstepped boundaries for years, and you're up against a tremendous momentum of that. And maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a friend. Whatever the case may be, if this is going on, can I just tell you something? Watching online, if you're watching online, I got to tell you this. You've got to take action. You've got to do something. You've got to make the decision. I'm getting out of bed. I'm putting my clothes on. I'm putting the Cheetos away. And I'm getting me an apple. Y'all with me, right? You've got to do something with this. Some of you have been waiting for the perfect timing. Right now is the time to start entertaining this. Don't put it off. Ask God, God, how do I navigate these difficult waters? People are involved. It's a tough decision. But there is, every moment you live in dysfunction and toxic stuff, that's every day that you go by having your walk with God and your spiritual journey hindered by something that's not going to get you from here to there. You've got to get on the right path. You've got to take a step. You got to take a step. If I can encourage you anything with love and compassion for you, don't be afraid of it anymore. Don't be afraid of what's on the other side of that decision. Can I tell you something? For some of you, you're already living afraid. You're living afraid. And I promise you're going to find this when you make this decision to get health into the equation. You're going to look back and you're going to realize, that's what I was afraid of. That I was living in that emotional turmoil. I was living in that toxic stuff all this time because I was afraid of that. It will be nothing in comparison to the life and the freedom that you see when the other side of that decision. It will pale in comparison. And afterward, you'll do a little jig and you'll say, man, that was awesome. I'm glad I took that step. Why was I such chicken little before all that? I'm telling you, the absolute truth. Love yourself. Love that person. Love that relationship enough to put up a boundary. It's necessary. Every relationship needs it. What if they won't be my friend anymore? What if they don't love me anymore? What if they get mad at me? Well, they're mad at you anyway when you don't do what they want you to do. So now they can be mad at you and you do what's in your heart from God to do, and you don't have to live out their dream and the pressure of their decisions on your life anymore. Man, I know we're over time, but I'm really telling you, I sense God in this place in a way that wants to set some people free forever. I was at a party last night, and somebody came up, and they weren't mean or anything, but they kind of confronted me about Larry. They used to train with Larry Miller. And they said, you stole Larry from me. And I said, if he was yours, I wouldn't have been able to steal him. What am I saying? I'm simply saying that when we have those kinds of... The truth is, I didn't steal Larry from anyone. The world's a great, big, huge place. And nobody gets the corner on the market on any other person. Now, your spouse gets way more of you than anybody else. Don't misunderstand me. That's a whole nother conversation. But when I've been talking about relationships, don't take this and only apply it in an extreme to marriage, because I'm talking to a room full of people that are married and unmarried and been separated and divorced and who don't even know what it means to be married yet. They're too young. So I'm talking to a whole room full of people. So don't just take this and apply it only to one type of relationship. This is overarching, right? So don't do that. Don't use today's platform as permission to get a divorce. Don't use today's message as a platform to beat yourself up if you've experienced divorce. Either side. You got to get some people in your world where you can take the masks off and go deeper on those relationships. I struggled with this today for the very fact that I knew there's all kinds of people in the room with all kinds of different bents and biases and places and seasons and stages of life and interests and needs. And I almost backed out of it last minute. I almost blamed it on God and said, oh, well, the Lord changed my mind and did something else. No, I didn't want to do that because I'd rather fail knowing that I gave you the best that I could than wimp out and not speak up on a subject that I know will change hundreds of people's lives when we apply it to ourselves, to our spiritual journey. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. If an usher or someone could do me a favor and let the children's ministry know that I'm 5 minutes away, that would be awesome. They got you. Heads bowed and eyes closed really quick. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. That's the most important relationship that I could ever talk to you about. Without that is the first one, the example of how to live by observing Him and following Him. It's just an exercise in human futility. It's impossible, in other words. You can't do it apart from Him. And if your relationship with God is non-existent or not what you want it to be, I want you to, right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just respond with an uplifted hand. People watching online are making this decision as well. There'll be someone in the thread to help you take some next steps. But right here in this room, really quickly, because I'm over time, you say, Josh, I need to get my relationship with God back on the right track. I've crossed some boundaries. I've crossed over into the territory of the tree that I wasn't supposed to get into, into the behavior that I wasn't supposed to get into. And I know God didn't stop loving me, but I want to make a course correction. If that's you anywhere in this place right now, just throw up your hand and say, that's me. Come on right now. Is that anybody? Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else join this one? Say, yep, that's me. Course correction is needed. Good. But I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat or come down front or do anything like that. If that helps you, then I'll just give you one more chance. Anybody? Say, that's me. Okay. Heads bowed and eyes closed real quick, because this is very personal. But you say, Josh, I've got some toxic stuff in me that's the residue of a former relationship or the impact of a current relationship. And I'm not mad at him. Or I don't want to be mad at him. But what I want to do is I want to emphasize my responsibility. And I want to give that to God in a way today that He can begin the healing process, so the thing doesn't have to be out of joint, but rather it can be healed. And I need to add some things. And I want you to pray for me. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. And so anywhere in this place, I want to make you a promise that if you respond, I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat again, or I'm not going to ask you to come down front. But you say, Josh, I need you to believe God with me about an unhealthy relationship situation. And I want you to join me in as a prayer partner over the next few weeks. If that's you, I'm gonna pray for you every day through the end of our 21-day prayer journey. But I want to know who you are. So if that's you right now in this place, just put your hand up in the air and say, that's me. Okay, thank you. Just keep them up. Throw them up. It's going to be all over. It's okay. You're not the only one. Don't worry about you being the only one. It's not. It's not you. Okay? All over. all over. God, I just thank you for every heart, for every hand, for every life, for every emotion. Thank you, ma'am. And I just believe you, God, to begin a work in here. Just, you who have begun a good work, my God, you are faithful to complete it. And so we speak a completion word over hearts and lives. We speak a healing word over hearts and lives. Father, we say that your best idea for us is what we'll walk in. It's what we'll live out as we assume responsibility for this all-important area of our life. Teach us, show us, lead us, guide us, give us wisdom, give us understanding on what's next. And I give you thanks for that, for doing that and so much more. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, let me hear you shout amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.